Hello and welcome to the penultimate Bundesliga weekly review show for week 33 this time of the Bundesliga. As you can see, I've got Peter with me there over in the US, and then Rory will be joining us a little bit later, but he's just been delayed slightly due to his five-a-side football game, I believe. So yeah, how are you, Peter, over there? Looking forward to coming back to the old Bundesrepublik soon.
Absolutely, yes. We'll be in next week, just after the conclusion of the season, on a one-way ticket, and couldn't be happier to be headed back to my country. Wish I could be there this weekend as we crown a new Deutsche Meister for the first time in a decade. That is, many of us are confident that this is going to happen. Have been confident for some weeks, but now we're extremely confident.
Yeah, I know that Peter's really confident. Obviously, we were talking a little bit before before the start of the show today. Yeah, I told him don't be too confident yet. You know, BVB have got to win another game yet, yeah, haven't they? But yeah, what a weekend it was. The Bundesliga just never disappoints, does it? I mean, obviously, me and Rory did that. To be honest, dreadful watch along between Leverkusen and Roma on Thursday night. And I said at that time, I said, I'd just bring back the Bundesliga. And surely enough, that it didn't disappoint with another brilliant weekend of action as well. So, yeah, good to see already a few comments as well. Rory's coming on soon. Yeah, he says as fast as his legs can carry him. So, yeah, we're waiting for you, Rory. Yeah, Balan, we'll get to some of your comments in a little bit as well. Yeah, just before that we get properly into the show, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe if you enjoy what you saw. You know, obviously we are on the kind of rundown to 1,000 subscriptions, and yeah, you know, we've got a lot of content coming for you as well. We've still got the Pokal final, we've got the final day shenanigans as well, which is going to be amazingly exciting as well. And then obviously we've got the Pokal final, potentially relegation and promotion playoffs as well. So yeah, stay with us for another few weeks while we count down this brilliant 2022-23 Bundesliga season. So yeah, Peter, I mean, what can you say about this weekend? It was just absolutely superb. And just a quick look at the table there, as you can see on your screen, will show you that Dortmund are top of the league going into the last weekend of action where they will host Mainz. And as Peter said, maybe we will see a new Deutscher Meister as well. So yeah, let's start with the title race, Peter. I mean, obviously the Saturday evening game between FC Bayern Munich and Rasenballsport Leipzig, and the Rasenball boys did us proud, didn't they, Peter, with that amazing 3-1 win in the Allianz Arena. Again, we always say we're not against Bayern Munich on this show, but as many Bundesliga fans, we do want to see a new Deutscher Meister, a new German champion. So yeah, Peter, what did you make of the game on Saturday evening? It was pretty much a game of two halves, as far as I saw it.
I think it was a game of 30 minutes or so of Bayern dominance, followed by just them running out of steam, running out of gas, and running out of ideas. And that's been sort of emblematic of how Bayern have been tanking in recent weeks. It was, of course, the tactical focus feature of my column this week. I've got a second by second, touch by touch write up available up there on Bully News if anybody wants to relive in their mind. The historic first ever win for Leipzig away at the Allianz Arena. And as we were talking about a little before the show, the scenes of Bayern supporters departing the Allianz in droves is not something that we've seen in German football for quite some time. They have been champions for the last decade. Ordinarily, a couple match days back, the Fraulines would be on the pitch with those oversized beer mugs in their Bavarian garb, as is the tradition, or at least, you know, a tradition that was unfortunately halted by COVID. But it came back last year. That was hilarious. You see that the Fraulines were there with the oversized beer mugs, yet they also had masks. so like there was a Bavarian harem, you know, or something like this going on. I mean, beyond João Cancelo, who routinely was turning some just amazing tricks on the left there. I mean, he was really spectacular to watch. Some filthy, dirty, slick tricks every time they hit him there on the left flank. Bayern were pretty limp in this one. Very, very poor game from Kimmich. Turned out to be another poor game from Musiala. Mazraoui had his difficulties as well. Pavard, of course, was the one who kicked Christopher Nkunku in the head and then conceded that vital penalty prior to the Mazraoui handball. So this was just a game of Bayern's hot air balloon being completely popped. And that's why so many of us are confident that, you know, it's going to happen. It shall happen this weekend. Borussia Dortmund are finally, the perennial also-rans, should finally be hoisting the Meisterschale. That's what it looks like. What were your thoughts on the game, Mark? Did you...
I mean, I thought it was a fantastic, it was a classic Bundesliga game of football. I thought there were chances aplenty, and I believe that the better team won. I just think RB Leipzig have finished the season like a train, basically. Like they, you know, we've seen them play brilliantly, especially away from home, actually, in the last 2 months. I just think they've been so good. In Nkunku coming back, it's such a pity we can't get another year out of him, because he's just a magician. Like when he's fully fit, he's probably the best player in the Bundesliga individually for me. I think he's that good. Like we've seen it week after week since he came back, that the improvement in this RB side has just been incredible. And do you know what? When I watched, I looked at the team lineups before kickoff, and I thought for probably the first time, I realized that basically RB Leipzig maybe have a stronger squad on the pitch than Bayern Munich in this game, really. Just if you look at that squad that RB Leipzig have, like Nkunku, Andre Silva, on-form Dani Olmo, who's been brilliant again in recent weeks, Szoboszlai, who's probably been their player of the season overall, like all players that can go to the very top, Laimer, who started to show his form again.
Oh, yeah, Laimer was the one who scored the equalizer, and he's, of course, moving to Bayern next season.
He is. The irony. Yeah, the irony. He didn't know whether to celebrate or to cry, I don't think. But, yeah. But what a team this is. Unfortunately, we probably are going to see it get picked apart again this summer. You know, the likes of Gvardiol linked with the Premier League. He's been very good in recent weeks. Simakon as well. You know, he played fullback, right back in this game, but he was really good. I just think
He was not. I mean, he was having real trouble with Cancelo. He was, of course, subbed off in favor of Benny Henrichs, who did a much better job.
Yeah, Henrichs has been fantastic too in recent weeks. You know, and even Blasvik, You know, when he came into the side, like everyone was like, "Oh God," you know, another of those substitute keepers who don't often tend to be good. But I wouldn't be surprised if he keeps his place next year, even when Peter Galazzi is fully back fit, because I think he's been really good. I do like Galazzi, but he always had a mistake in him for me. That was the problem with him. But I just think, you know, we're talking about next season and RB Leipzig. You know, the Rosa ball is really starting to take shape at the minute. And I just think, you know, they're playing really, really well. Once again, they're finishing the season really well, RB Leipzig. And they can be proud of themselves. The first ever win at the Allianz Arena, they can be proud of themselves. They did it in style, ultimately. And I thought they were worthy of the 3 points.
How ironic is it that Marco Rosa actually did help Dortmund win the title after
all? Yeah.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be too concerned about Leipzig getting picked apart. They have a direct pipeline through the RB system to get more players and preferential. Yeah. I wouldn't have too much sympathy for them necessarily. It is pretty amazing, I think, that they ended up doing so well this season when Andre Silva and Timo Werner were not particularly good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course they had their troubles when Nkunku had multiple injuries this season. He suffered. I mean, he was out shortly before he had to miss the World Cup, and then he had a setback this past late winter and early spring. So it is interesting how they were able to cope with a lot of underachieving, I think, Leipzig were this year. For that, we'll give them credit. A German football diehard will give them some credit for that. But don't have sympathy for the fact that Gvardiol, Silva, and many others will be leaving this season. They have a direct pipeline where they can get more players. That's
Yeah, but I think there's exciting times ahead. I personally don't think it'll be that long until RB Leipzig will win a German championship. I think, you know, Bayern Munich have got issues, like serious issues at the moment. I don't think it's a guarantee that they'll go straight back to being champions next year, because Tuchel has been a failure so far, let's be honest. Let's not kid ourselves now. Like the results have been poor. They've been much worse than what Nagelsmann was getting in general.
Well, there are going to be consequences for this. It is pretty much common knowledge that either Oliver Kahn or Hasan Salihamidzic, Brazzo as we call him, will lose their jobs over this decision to replace Nagelsmann with Tuchel, which has been an utter failure. It was just simply the wrong time of the season to execute such a change. I think I was interested to read this morning that I believe Heidi Klum endorsed Kahn to stay and Salihamidzic to get sacked. So perhaps our Germany's next top model host or whatever has some influence.
Yeah, definitely. But to be honest, I'm surprised at the backlash against him. Like, I think I mentioned it last week, and it's kind of stepped up again after the defeat against Leipzig, which basically means that they need a miracle to win the title now. A lot of the Bayern fans are simply not happy with Salihamidzic. Obviously, he was part of the reason why Hansi Flick left a couple of years ago. Let's not forget that. Then he made the big money move to get, Nagelsmann in. And it, let's be honest, like, he wasn't doing that badly at all. Like, he really wasn't. Like, I mean, some of his tactical decisions were questionable at times, but he was still on course to win the Bundesliga when he got fired. And at the end of the day, they were also in the Pokal and the Champions League as well, which they fell out of very, very quickly into Tuchel's reign. So,
well, this was, I mean, it was simply the wrong time of year to execute a coaching change. When Nagelsmann was sacked, this came as quite the shock. And many of the Bayern players themselves had been committed to Nagelsmann. They had bought into his system, his unorthodox training methods. And they didn't really give a damn that he was, you know, sort of erratic, moody, and overly complicated. Tuchel, I think, is a very nice guy, but he just simply hasn't had enough time to get to know this team, to get to know his players, to figure out his best 11. There's been a thread of opinion in German footballing circles that, you know, the real problem was that they sacked Nagelsmann too late. You know, perhaps should have done so during the first international break when he was slumping with the team, and brought in Tuchel then. You know, Tuchel was available then, but I don't think that logic works anymore. I mean, look, it's Tuchel will not be a bad. He is a good coach. He is a good trainer, and given a chance at a fresh start next season with some good with a solid transfer market this offseason. I believe that Bayern can get right back up there and contend for the title again. That's my personal opinion. I think that, you know, Salihamidzic, has he made highly illogical and poor transfer decisions? There's been a lot of flops, but I would say that the only genuine flop that I can think of under his regime would be Bounassar. Apart from that, I mean, yeah. Bounassar, that was a transfer that made no sense, but so what? So yeah. You bought a right back that's not particularly useful. I mean, the Sadio Mane deal was quite the coup. To bring in Jan Sommer to replace the injured Manuel Neuer, I mean, you know, he picked off the best Bundesliga keeper that he could, and got him quite cheaply, and signed the likes of Mazraoui and Gravenberch on frees. He did get De Ligt in. Cancelo has probably been the only player who has really thrived under Tuchel, partially because he didn't have so much time to get adjusted to the Nagelsmann regime. Brazzo is not necessarily a bad footballing administrator. he works for Bayern, where the expectations are sky high. So.
Yeah, I know a lot of Bayern fans as well. They seem to think that he didn't really do a proper apprenticeship, you know. So it was like his first major job as a director of football. But a lot of people seem to think that he should have kind of learned his trade maybe in the third league or the second league, which I guess there is some sense of that. But at the end of the day, Guardiola went straight in at Barcelona, didn't he? And he did pretty okay, I think we can safely say. So, you know, and Zidane went straight in at Real Madrid as well. So sure. I think it's not always a case that you need to do an apprenticeship, but things haven't gone well for him, really, let's be honest. Rory, the main man's here. Yeah, mm-hmm. How's it going over there?
Hola. Good evening.
Yeah.
How are we doing?
How's it going over? How was the game?
Did it? Oh, it's terrible. It's one of the worst 1-1 draws I've ever played in my life. purely terrible, Anti. That's why I'm so glad to be back. I'm ready to do the show tonight.
The opposition.
I've been listening on my way back.
Some AS Roma tactics in there as well.
Yeah, maybe. I was speaking to Jose and he was telling me how to play it.
A bit about the dark.
I gather I've only missed Bayern RB chat.
So yeah, we were just going to go straight over to the Dortmund game. Yeah, we just covered Bayern's problems and RB's delight, basically, as well, the quality of their team. So yeah, let's switch nicely over to the Augsburg-Dortmund game then. So obviously coming into this game, most people thought that Augsburg would be safe going into the game, but it didn't turn out to be the case. A few results went against them, which we'll talk about later at the bottom, which meant that basically Augsburg had to get a point to assure safety. Peter's been saying all year about this 35 points, and it turned out to be right, to be fair. Yeah, 35 points is going to be the number that gets teams safe. But we'll come to that in a bit. This game was really all about Dortmund, wasn't it? And, let's come to Peter first. So, yeah, obviously, it looks like a comfortable 3-0 win in the end, but it was 0-0 at halftime. It wasn't all going so smoothly all the way through this game. But, Peter, would you say Dortmund really looked like a champion team in this win?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they racked up, 4.55 XG. Mm-hmm. They were absolutely dominant, even prior to scoring. The solution for the injured Jude Bellingham was to move Rafael Guerrero back into midfield. And together, I think Guerrero and Brandt just absolutely barnstormed the box. They were fearless. They just showed absolutely no respect for the opponent. It's not a surprise at all that we got this result. I guess champion's performance is kind of a cliche, but I'll use it. That's mm-hmm. a champion's performance for you. That's why we have the Potsgaben about to, poised to win the Bundesliga.
Yeah, well, they just need one more of them, obviously, next week at home against Mainz to finally end the never-ending dominance from FC Bayern. But I think pretty much most of Germany, apart from a small part of Bavaria, is going to be hoping that the Dortmund boys manage to get over the line next week. Rory, who stood out to you in this game? Because there were quite a few big performances there from BVB, weren't there?
Yeah, there were. I think I have to give props to the man who scored the first two goals, because, at times during the show, when we're talking about Sepp Haller as a Dortmund footballer and kind of foregoing the miracle of him coming back and being in this situation, he's maybe not scored as many goals. And times early on when he returned, naturally took his time to bed in. But obviously, as the game is going on at 0-0, Dortmund are creating chances at will, but they're still not scoring them. And it actually takes basically a bit of opportunism, being completely on the ball and making the most of a poor Augsburg clearance from a Daniel Marlon cross, which Haller obviously steals in, and his finish is superb, really, at an angle right into the side of the net, obviously just where Kubek, the goalkeeper, can get to make it 1-0 and release the pressure. And then perfect following up on the end of Marco Reus's shot to make it 2-0. Thought he linked up play really nicely. Obviously, probably took a bit too much time with that chance they had in the first half when he was put in by Julian Brandt very selflessly. So, yeah, I think Brandt was quality. Adeyemi and Marlon, I think, kind of flashed in and out of the game. Naturally, the red cards then put Dortmund in even more control. Some big performances all across the pitch. I thought Emre Can played a very controlled game in midfield as well. I was still at times a little bit afraid of what Augsburg could potentially do with 10 men, with 11 men. There were still a few harum scarum moments. And whether you just put that down to concentration or the pressure, probably more the pressure, because you wouldn't say you're not concentrating in one of those sort of matches. Augsburg a few times did present opportunities. I think there was particularly a chance in the first half where it might have been Belio who got the wrong side of Sula and probably should have got on the end of a pass, actually. And if he got on the end of that pass, it's a one-on-one with Kobel, actually. So I still think there were Obviously opportunities, but we've seen that with Dortmund's defence from time to time. But as Peter said, as you said, yeah, champions performance, absolutely. There's still one big one to go. Naturally, their away form is probably the one thing that you were slightly worried about in this sense, and the fact that other results went against Augsburg, which meant that they were even more desperate for a point, say. And yeah, the red card is also a big moment in the match as well, because it, you know, gives Dortmund more space to utilise, and the Augsburg players more space to cover. But yeah, really interesting watch. And obviously, once that first goal goes in, there's a big sigh of relief in the away stand.
Yeah, and I think obviously in relation to the red card, like obviously Augsburg this season have felt hard done by at times with refereeing decisions. That has been something that Enrico Maaßen has mentioned a few times. I think Augsburg kind of carry it as a chip on the shoulder a bit as well. You know, they do feel as though decisions go against them a little bit. They are easily top in red cards, yellow cards and fouls this season, in the whole season by a country mile, basically. I think they're like 20 yellow cards clear of the second place team, basically. That's how many yellows they picked up. But Peter, in this case, obviously it was Udokai who was sent off for what was given as a last man foul. But when I first saw it, I thought maybe it's a little bit too far back and there were other men that could potentially have covered. What do you think, Peter? Was this a correct decision, or do you think it was a bit harsh on Augsburg again in this game?
It was a bit hard. Augsburg actually have officially filed a complaint against the the VAR official, whom they believe was biased towards Dortmund. That I hate it when they do things like that. Stefan Reuter, he tends to whine quite a bit about VAR and the decisions going against him, as you mentioned. I think it was a bit harsh, yes, but I don't think it really truly influenced the outcome of the match. I think that Dortmund were dominant. They were going to find a way to score eventually. Sebastian Haller, coming back from this cancer diagnosis that kept him out of the first half of the season, has really made everyone in that team better. I believe he's scored something like 11 goals in the Rückrunde. I mean, this is a weird, no, not 11 goals, not anywhere
close. Nine, he's on nine, but most of them have come in the last seven or eight games, I think.
Yeah. This is, a weird year. You know, the Torschützen Kanon and the race for the golden cannon is just weird. I mean, this is our first post Robert Lewandowski year in the Bundesliga for quite some time. So we've got Füllkrug leading, I think, with 16, Gnabry, Grifo, Muani, and Kugel. So everybody, yeah, this is our Torschützen König, I think, is going to have the least amount of goals out of any Torschützenkönig ever. I don't think there was ever anybody who had 16 or 18 goals or something like that. It's all sort of spread around this year. Definitely a different year in the Bundesliga once Robert Lewandowski is out. And Haller, had he been available for the first half of the season, Dortmund, I think, probably would have long clinched the title. It was his injury that made such a huge impact. And for Bayern, we might as well say that the Chupo injury is also made a huge impact. As good as Gnabry and sometimes Müller have been in that number nine role, I mean, that's a huge factor right there.
Yeah, I was actually doing a little bit of research as well on the top goal scorer. Like in the two seasons previous to this, there were five players who got 20 plus goals. Incredible. So, like, as Peter mentioned, this is potentially Füllkrug could win it on 16 goals. That's highly possible this year, which is quite incredible, really. I mean, as you mentioned, it has been a different season, but so enjoyable, you know. I mean, in many ways, the loss of Haaland and Lewandowski have opened it up for so many other players. And there's not been one player that everybody's looking at in the Bundesliga this year, has there? And that's in many ways made it even more interesting because, you know.
I wonder, can we name those five players off the top of their heads? Obviously, ooh, Lewandowski, Haaland, Paddy Schick.
Kramaric. Good old Paddy Schick last year.
Nkunku? Did he get 20?
Nkunku, yeah. Nkunku did, yeah. I think it was...
So there's that five.
Yeah, it's and it's incredible, yeah, because I was really interested in the top goal scorer this season because it's just... Yeah, as you mentioned, even the likes of Marcus Thuram could realistically go away with the top goal scorer, and he's not even started that many games. You know, I think even Dodi Lukubakio is only 3 or 4 goals behind. He's been gradually benched for the whole season by the sound of it. Yeah, but go on,
Peter. What happens when you're the lone penalty taker on the squad?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, lost pens.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is interesting. As you mentioned, it's been a different season that could very, very likely give us a different champion as well. So obviously next week we'll tell on that one. So yeah, let's switch our attention to the top four race as well, because I think Peter called it over last week, but I think Freiburg now...
You've been wrong. Love it.
Yeah. I was thinking about you, Peter, when Union lost that game. Yeah. But yeah, I think obviously if Union did manage to beat Hoffenheim, who needed the win, they played like a team that needed the win there, you know, they needed that result in reaction to Freiburg's win on Friday night. Obviously, the Freiburg game in itself, it was all about Nils Petersen, wasn't it? At the end of the day, the man who announced his retirement, he hadn't scored a single goal all season. And then he comes off the bench. And obviously, Chris Gunter as well, let's give him some credit as well. Gunter off the bench, got a pretty lucky opener in that game before Petersen basically stole the show with a goal and what should have been a second goal for that I'll be honest, I thought it was a ridiculous decision to deny his second.
Oh, that was so sad.
That was tragic, that one.
Well, I mean, that was a brace for Nils Petersen. Christian Streich was getting teary-eyed.
They had
shots of his wife blowing kisses in the stands, and then they disallow it for that.
No, you can't do that. It should be illegal. There should be some kind of rule in football that stops goals like that from being disallowed, because it's like you just can't do that. Like, I was celebrating watching it on Friday night. I was so happy for him. It was a great scenes. And imagine if he didn't get the first goal and they disallowed that one. That really would have been a tragedy, you know. But, yeah, it was a great performance from, I thought, a substitute performance or a joker performance, as they call it over here in Germany. I thought, you know, it was all about the substitutes that game. I thought before that point, Freiburg were a little bit disappointing. They looked like the season was going to peter out in a pretty ordinary moment, very strong home team, Freiburg. They usually win the home games. And, yeah, Rory, what did you make of that Freiburg performance in the end then?
I think they did struggle in the first half, as you say, and Wolfsburg did pose a threat. And it looked, as he said, like he might just peter out. Could have been a 0-0 draw until Christian Streich went to the bench. And, you know, sometimes these things come off perfectly, and sometimes, you know, they again just kind of don't figure in the match. But lo and behold, it just sometimes takes one piece of luck to just get a team going. And I think the first goal does that. And Freiburg, after that, looked really energised. Nils Petersen obviously offered that kind of target man, but that presence in the box. Obviously, two opportune finishes, obviously both of which should have stood. They, you know, kind of got in behind the Wolfsburg defence a little bit more in that sense as well, and kind of went for the kill, really. And it was a really strong last 20-25 minutes, I'd say. Wolfsburg obviously had the opportunity to try and stay in the mix a little bit more from a European football sense. But as you say, really strong team at home, and they just needed to do their job on obviously on the Friday night at the time and apply as much pressure to RB Leipzig and Union Berlin. And obviously it told in the sense of Union's results, and lo and behold, we now have a last day of a shootout between the two. Obviously it's a great shame that both of them can't be in the Champions League next season, but both teams deserve it, and it's just going to go down to the final day shootout, basically, who holds their nerve. It was a kind of a struggle of a performance, but sometimes, you know, changes in the game by head coaches and managers ultimately paid off for Strike, and it was, a really important win for the home side.
Some really great ballsy personnel choices from Streich. He started Noah Weishaupt on the wing back there, in place of his captain Christian Günther. Also the young man that I was mentioning last week, Kenneth Jericho Omorero, who Kenneth Schmidt, you can call him.
On
the back line there. And of course, Gunta came off the bench to score a goal, which was a deflection. It was quite lucky. Salai was the one who assisted on two goals there. He was phenomenal. I think in the first half, it was an interesting tactical game of cat and mouse. And Streich brought in the right actors and left the right ones on the pitch. Couldn't be happier for him. If commenting on the Union loss, the big problem there, of course, was that Robin Knoche, the bonesman, was out. And that's what led to the back three making some mistakes. And of course, Union's game, particularly when they fall behind, is simple. It's easy to read. They're just going long verticals in Becker's direction, and Becker makes it happen for whatever other advancing attackers that you have. So you had worst case scenario there for Diogo Leite, who for his defensive mistake, Torsby wasn't really able to do much as a buttressing attacker. He had a very poor match. Is the top four race back on? I mean, Freiburg have to go to Frankfurt, whereas Union are hosting Bremen. So I would still say that Union are the favorites to get that top four spot. But it'll be something that you guys will have a lot of fun with on the watch along on Saturday, as it all kicks off simultaneously.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just another kind of it's another thing to look forward to, isn't it? I mean, obviously, if Freiburg had lost that game, then it would literally have been over the top four race. So, I mean, I agree. I think Union probably will be better and comfortably get that top four place. But it's still something else, another kind of piece of action to look forward to on Saturday. What's going to be a crazy day. But one team that won't really be involved with that crazy action will be Hoffenheim, because obviously they are effectively safe now, given the goal difference, which is much, much better than all of the competitors, Bochum. And Bochum could catch them in terms of points, but barring like a 10-0 loss for Hoffenheim and a 10-0 win for Bochum, then it would be impossible. So Hoffenheim incredibly is safe with a game to go. And fair play to Pellegrino Matarazzo, because I think he was only one game from the sack at one point as well. And he's basically turned the home stadium into a fortress, really. I think they've won 4 or 5 straight games now. So, I think they lost one against Köln a few weeks ago. But other than that, they've won 5 out of 6 at home, which is good going. You know, they were bottom, I think, with about eight match days to go. So fair play to them. They've stayed up. I mean, I know they're not the most popular team in the Bundesliga, but a lot of their better players have stood up, especially Kramaric and Baumgartner. I think they've been superb in recent weeks. I think Bebu as well, you know, in his new position has improved too. He got a decent finish despite Diogo Leite's appalling mistake, really. He still had to take it round the keeper and finish it under pressure. So, yeah, fair play to Hoffenheim. You know, we'll be seeing them on the Bundesliga show again next year. So, yeah, let's turn our attention more towards the relegation race now. So, yeah, I'm going to move the table slightly down now so you can see what's going on at the bottom. And obviously the big news is, I mean, some people would say it was inevitable for a while, really. I mean, the fact that Hertha Berlin have been officially relegated from the Bundesliga with a match day to spare. And obviously they've got bigger problems than just relegation, because we don't even know if they're going to get a license for the Zweite Bundesliga yet. You know, I think that the deadline for that is at the end of June, I believe. But obviously they've got big fights to come as well, Peter.
I think they will. I think it's a bit of it's not necessarily a manufactured issue. There's a lot of concern about investors in Bundesliga clubs, particularly with a big vote coming up at the DFL on Wednesday. Don't want to get too technical about it, but there's a new model, a new on-ramp for investors that the 36 clubs contesting the two top flights are going to vote on. That's a pretty big decision that's coming that way. I think Hertha get the license, though. I mean, when it comes down to it, this 777 consortium is putting in less than a tenth of the money that Lars Windhorst did, and even, I think, less than the Bolt Football Holdings that pumps a little bit of money into Augsburg, the one we were talking about when we were covering Augsburg matches. So I think they get the license. I think that you know, as far as I know, I was reading some reports in Kicker today that all of their players have contracts that are valid for the Zweite Liga. Maybe a couple guys jump ship, Mittelstädt and Gankamp, but Niederlechner wants to stay. Martin Dardai wants to stay. They finally got Aska Sibar, and I think they're going to get Alderete. They're going to get some money for both of them, these two loan outs that they have. They might get some money for Piontek as well. So they're going to get maybe about 10 million euros pumped into them for the second league. They've been okay. The last time they were relegated was the last time Dortmund were champions. It was 10 years ago. So, and they were back up quickly. And I think that they will get up back. I mean, look, that match, you had 70,000 fans at the Olympiastadion. You had Kevin Prince-Boateng exiting with a 1-0 lead, and he took a bow before the prince took a bow before the ultras, saying, "Okay, this is my last home game. I finally made it back to my hometown club. We're leading. We're back in this." And then that Schlotterbeck tally at the at 90+3 officially relegates them. Yeah. So got me heartbreak. Yeah. But they're in a lot better position for the Zweite Liga than I think most people would imagine. You know, they still have a lot of players that they're going to retain. Pal Dardai, I think, is going to remain the coach, although his heart's with the youth academy. They should put him there. They should. But I think he's going to hang on and see if he can help get them promoted as well.
To be honest, I think with them, with Hertha, you have to question, like, is it not time to ship off a few of those contracts? Because, I mean, let's be honest, a lot of them have not. I saw a statistic midweek that they actually have the ninth biggest budget in the Bundesliga. So their wage budget is they should be a mid-table side, really, on paper. Yeah. But clearly, I mean, this is not the first season that they've struggled, let's be honest. They had a miracle escape last year and the year before, too. So, I mean, this is a side that's just simply not Bundesliga standard.
Yeah, I mean, they've been doing their best. I mean, if you look, okay, you have to be a real Bundesliga nerd to know this. But, I mean, the way that Bobic was trying his best to ship out all of these high-priced guys out on loan so they could get them off the payroll. You know, in the end, they weren't pleased with the fact that he wasn't bringing in the right transfers. But, I mean, Bobic was doing his best to mitigate this payroll disaster that the club has. And he did – some of the guys that he shipped out, they're going to get money for now. So he didn't do all that terrible of a job. And they're going to ship out a few more guys. But I think, you know, a core of some young guys are going to stay. And they're going to have a good chance in the second flight next year.
Yeah. Okay, and then obviously the side that go into the last match day in 17th as well, and obviously with an away trip to RB Leipzig, although they will be slightly happy with the fact that RB Leipzig, it is effectively a dead rubber, so we don't know exactly the kind of players that are going to turn out for Leipzig in that game. So that, I think Leipzig's win away in Munich did help Schalke 04 actually a little bit, but I always said that I felt as though this game this weekend against Frankfurt was a must win, and they gave it their all. You know, they played pretty well in the game, but ultimately it was that man Schwolo who, let's be honest, it was an absolute howler. We've kind of slated him quite a bit on the show that he's not really a Bundesliga standard keeper, and the last couple of weeks against Bayern and in this game, he's kind of showed himself really for, you know, for the keeper he is, with all due respect to him. But Rory, do you think that is the end of Schalke now? Do you think they can? They're probably going to have to win unless Bochum lose. You know, the only way they could stay up without a win is if Bochum lose at home to Leverkusen. I mean, in that case, they would stay up with a draw. But do you think that's the end of Schalke now, Rory, or is it still?
I don't think so. I'm completely done trying to predict what's going to happen from a relegation race this season. I know when we were doing the watch along on Thursday. I had this weird feeling that Hertha were going to win, and they almost did, to be fair. Yeah. So, and I think we both predicted a Schalke win. Yeah, they gave it their all. Frankfurt were obviously just a kind of not meandering through the game. Obviously, the Kamada goal is the one that kind of just stops all the momentum and takes the air out of the supporters' lungs. And, you know, it was a shock to the home side. And then just a piece of quality for by Touré for the cross to make it 2-1, where Tuta taps in, obviously makes it 2-1. And then Schalke, of course, chasing the game. Frankfurt then had multiple chances on the break to kind of create that third goal and kill the game. We can maybe talk about a certain penalty that wasn't given. I can't remember actually who made the challenge from a Schalke point of view. But there was a few replays that looked pretty, damning to from my point of view that probably should have been reviewed, but lo and behold, it wasn't. And then Poulter pulls one back to make it 2-2, gives them a little bit more hope going into, obviously, the last match weekend. And as you said, RB Leipzig's win kind of throws a spanner in the works for everyone in the relegation race, because it obviously makes it a dead rubber for Leipzig. But do Leipzig want to finish their season with a loss to Schalke? You know, quite a lot of positivity that's going around RB Leipzig at the moment. You know, their positive end to the season, will it persuade certain players to stay on at the club for next season? We already know that Nkunku is departing, or, well, certainly strongly reported that it's basically a done deal. There are obviously lots of other rumours. So I'd be surprised if Leipzig didn't turn up in the sense of a performance and will make it hard for Schalke, the quality that Leipzig have in that team. Even if they're playing at 70-80%, they'll still be a really tough test. So, yeah, impossible to call, to be honest. I haven't got a clue what will happen next Saturday from that sense. But, yeah, Schalke had no right, in effect, to kind of resurrect themselves after the start that they had to the Hinrunde. Obviously, the head coach choice that they made at the start of the season, I think, was a very strange one. And Thomas Reis has come in and almost pulled off a miracle. They are obviously still one match away from potentially doing that. You know, he's put in a system, put in belief into the players, made them hard to beat, put them, you know, obviously they've now got this attacking threat, which is great. So fair play to them, because, you know, it's made the rest of the season so much more exciting for us to watch as Bundesliga fans as well. So, you know, when it comes to the last day of the season on Saturday, we will sit and just enjoy to a certain degree, depending on what Stuttgart are doing, what it brings, basically. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Fair play to Schalke. They've put in everything to this recovery, but they might just fall at the last hurdle.
Yeah, it's, I mean, dead rubber or no, Schalke will get Marius Bülter back from yellow accumulated suspension, but they lost Moritz Jens and also Simon Terode. And Tom Kraus is injured as well. Doesn't look like he'll be back in time. And it will be that man Schwolo in goal. And even with a win against Leipzig, they still need Bochum to lose. They could. I mean, it's possible that they could pull themselves on safety. I mean, if you want my prediction for who's going down automatically with Hertha, it would be Schalke. Which is most unfortunate, because, I mean, what Thomas Reis was able to do in the Rückrunde, I mean, they were undefeated through the first 8 matches. Okay, there were a lot of nil-nil draws. But, you know, they still, you know, it very nearly was a great escape. Still could be a great escape. But my prediction probably would be that Schalke are going to go down automatic relegation together with Hertha on the season's final match day. And before we get to Stuttgart, because I know Rory is going to want to talk about Stuttgart, but he's waiting for Rory to talk about Stuttgart. My actual tip for the team that is going to be in the relegation playoff place on 34 points is FC Augsburg.
We always say about Augsburg, it's just like a magnet drawing them back into that relegation mire, isn't it?
I'm telling you.
Usually they get safe. That's the thing. Like that's the final plot twist that usually they get the result on the last day that they need to stay up.
Well, that's if they do that. Just remember that I never shut up about 35 points this season.
Yeah. To be honest, that was my first thought when I was looking at the table on Saturday evening, Peter. That was my first thought. Like, you've been going on about 35 points the whole season, and I think it is looking like 35 points is going to be the difference between staying up and relegation playoff at the moment. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, obviously, just a little bit on Bochum. We already touched on their result 1-1, but their final game is at home against Leverkusen. I mean, obviously, Leverkusen aside, they played out a relatively entertaining 2-2 draw against Gladbach, but I'm not sure how motivated they're going to be to play Europa League or Europa Conference League next season. I mean, you've got to question, are they going to be able to match Bochum's like desire in that game? You know, because Bochum are a very strong home side. It is the kind of game that screams of like a 1-0 Bochum win, that one, really, isn't it? I think we could possibly see that. I mean, Rory, do you think that Bochum have a good chance of, you know, obviously getting the win, which probably should keep them up? I mean, if they win, they'd be needing Augsburg to get a result and Stuttgart to get a win in order for them to play the playoffs. So, you know, they'll be targeting winning that game. And if so, they'll believe that'll be enough to keep them in the division another year.
Yeah, as you've already mentioned, they are a strong home team. The fans will be right behind them. I'd be interested to see their reaction or capability if Leverkusen were, say, to go 1-0 up. That might be something that distresses them a little bit too much, perhaps, under such pressure. One thing I would say for, you know, these teams like Leipzig and Leverkusen, where maybe their motivations won't be as high, it's almost freeing, isn't it, really, for the players? So if you get the Leverkusen players thinking, you know what, I'm just going to try everything, and it comes off, Diaby and Frimpong going down the right-hand side at will, and, you know, strikers having goes at things that they shouldn't be able to do, and pulling off passes and things like that, and playing with a real freedom, it's dangerous in a sense of being able to score goals. I'd imagine Bochum will be able to create chances against Leverkusen because of that intensity, like you said. But yeah, it still strikes me as a pretty tough match. But I think, like you say, the passion and the desire and the desperation, I think, will be enough for them to get a result in the end. So yeah, I'd expect Bochum to still be, well, at least in a relegation playoff match, at the very least, come the end of Saturday.
Yeah, I think the start of this game is key. It's the kind of game that if Leverkusen go in front early on, then you start worrying about Bochum, you know. But Bochum are a side that, you know, they like to keep it tight early doors in many cases, and then like hit teams later on, I think. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. It's one of the big ones, obviously, on Saturday to look forward to. And then, obviously, you've waited 48 minutes to talk about them, Rory. But yeah, you must be absolutely delighted. Obviously, Stuttgart starting Sunday off as second bottom. I think I said to you, Rory, they need a win here, because basically, if they'd have lost that game, they would have needed to win and results to go in their favour with the Hoffenheim home game to come. But obviously, the 4-1 win at Mainz, Rory, completely changes the path of the season really now, doesn't it?
Yeah, very much so. And it puts, the picture is a lot prettier to look at from a VfB point of view. If we're talking about the game itself on Sunday, I think it was a pretty meek average first 30 minutes until Mainz scored from the corner, which again was far from perfect from a VfB point of view, losing two men effectively at the back post for it to be nodded back, and then the lack of following the run to be put in by Ingvartsen, who, as I always say about him, is always in the right place to pop in for 1-0. Then you're extremely worried because Mainz then get another set piece, and you're thinking, oh, here we go. Yeah, another great chance of Mainz. And lo and behold, you know, Stuttgart are able to counter-attack through Silas, and just a pleasure to watch him at full throttle again. And, just great to see a player like that being able to kind of go into full gear and kind of leave players in his wake, which he did. Then obviously he gets the ball across into the penalty area and it's not really well cleared. And then Otardo Endo comes onto it and takes a good first touch out of his feet, and the finish is superb to make it 1-1. And then in the second half, I think VfB did a very, very impressive job. There are a couple of big moments from a lot of players that stood up for Stuttgart. Endo was everywhere. I thought, to be fair, one player that I often think is pretty average is Atakan Karatsor. I thought he linked up play quite nicely from the midfield. And then as soon as he got the ball, he was looking for Endo, who then obviously looks for Guirassy straight away. And then, to get the corner, pretty average marking from Mines. Guirassy gets the header. Very, very nice finish. After that point, you're thinking, it's probably going to be a horrible last few minutes where they're clinging on into the dire ends of extra time. But then again, credit to the head coach. The substitutions that were made were really, really effective. So super sub, Furyk came on and replaced Thiago Tomás, who I thought had an okay game, but wasn't, particularly influential, especially at the top end of the pitch. Furyk's directness and pace and energy was really crucial, obviously scoring the third goal, which was, a really nice finish cutting inside, using the defender's body as a shield for 3-1. You're thinking, right, that's pretty much game, set, and match. And then the final one's a bit of a mess up from the defender. Fury goes through on goal, takes a heavy touch, admittedly, but is then able to set up his fellow substitute, Koulibaly, to make it 4-1, and then you're thinking, what on earth is going on here? And away, 4-1 win for Stuttgart against Mainz, their last home match of the season. And I just think we, generally speaking, outmatched Mainz after that goal. And I think, honestly, the Mainz goal was probably the best thing that could have happened to Stuttgart in that match, because before that 30 minutes, it was quite messy. We weren't attacking very well. An odd thing to say, but sometimes that can spark a team into life and realise what you're actually playing for and the importance of it. And now, obviously, it puts the side in a stronger position. Not that many VfB fans will be sitting on Saturday afternoon or throughout the entire week feeling particularly comfortable. But again, with Hoffenheim effectively being safe and being at home at the Mercedes-Benz Arena, it certainly makes you feel a lot more confident than you would have been, certainly if this was a draw or a loss.
Definitely, yeah. At the end of the day, it puts it in their own hands. Like, I'm going to come to you for this one, Peter, but yeah, obviously the final game of the season, as Rory touched on there, is at home against Hoffenheim. I mentioned before that Hoffenheim now, given their end of season run, which nobody really expected, but they are safe before the end of the season. Like, as I say, barring a ridiculous result, it would literally take like a 12 and a 13-0 win, which is just not going to happen. They're safe. Even if they lose 6-0 in this game, they're going to be very comfortably safe. But Peter, do you think Stuttgart can complete yet another great escape, really? I mean, the second one in 2 years. Do you think they could finish this off and stay up again?
Yeah, sure. It's at home. It's a dead rubber for Matarazzo and company, as you mentioned, because of the goal differential. They've already celebrated clinching class preservation, even though it's not official yet. So I'm not worried about Stuttgart at all. It was an excellent game. I was thinking about Rory as I watched it. It was very different to the game that we saw from last week. Probably my favorite part of the match was, who doesn't love just a straight up awesome counter off a corner? And you saw that in Bayern Leipzig too, when there's just all of a sudden, it's headed away and you got a 4-on-2 breakaway or something like that. Those are some of my favorites. I have a perverse love of that stuff. Yeah. I do. Yeah. I would probably, Yeah, should we answer some of, are there any questions that we
need? Definitely. Yeah, I think just wanted to mention the last team that Arsenal involved are Peter's Tip, Augsburg. Yeah, they just need a point as well. They go away to Gladbach, who also have nothing to play for, but they're in a bit of a different position because, you know, they shouldn't be in this final day showdown, Augsburg, really. They only needed one more win over the season. They've blown so many leads in games, it's almost ridiculous. You know, if they could just have seen one of those games out, they'd be comfortably safe now and would have been for probably 2 or 3 weeks before now. But, you know, now all of a sudden they've got to go and get a point. And, you know, they probably should be able to get it away at Gladbach because, I mean, Gladbach, you know, haven't done very much for a while now. But yeah, all of a sudden, you know, they've got the pressure on, Peter, yeah?
I think Falk, reports are that he's leaving after the season, so this will be his farewell. It'll also be Lars Stindl's farewell, and he's been incredibly influential as of late. It'll be Marcus Thuram's farewell. It'll be Ben Sebaini's farewell in front of the hometown fans. I think Gladbach win that game. That's just a hunch, and that's why I have Augsburg sliding into the relegation playoff against either Heidenheim or HSV. Should mention that Darmstadt clinched promotion back to the Bundesliga this season, so we get to have
congrats to them.
Yeah, an Eintracht Darmstadt derby in the Bundesliga next year. That'll be a lot of fun.
That's my
tip on that. Let's see.
Yeah, Heidenheim. I watched the highlights of the game. Obviously, I follow the second league too, and you don't realize how small Heidenheim are. They're like a really minuscule team. Like it's like another of those. Maybe not quite a village, but it's a small town, like near Ulm, I believe. And it's like, it's not a big town at all. And again, I think the stadium only holds like 10 to 12,000. And, you know, they don't even fill it a lot of the time, I don't think. They probably would do in the Bundesliga, but this is potentially the smallest team ever to play Bundesliga, I would say. We could be talking about that. Really. Maybe, okay, Hoffenheim, but they obviously got the fans from around the Rhine-Neckar area due to obviously having quite good resources and things. But Heidenheim are a club that you could never have imagined would play Bundesliga until a few years ago, really.
Well, with the same coach in place for the last 20 years, it's kind of it's what Germans call a Mittelstand club. It is backed by some local money, but it's Mittelstand, how would you translate that? I guess you could say small business. Yeah. Right.
Mittelstand, like Sandhausen. Sandhausen the same, I think. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So there, I mean, if these clubs are supported by small local businesses, that's okay with Germans. A lot, you know, a lot more than if their company teams are being backed by corporations or something like that.
Yeah. Let's just go to some of the questions quickly. As you say, we will go a little bit longer due to the fact that it's obviously coming towards the end of the season. There's a lot of things to go through. Yeah. A good question from Paul. Just out of interest, do you think Hertha's relegation would have much of a financial impact on both the club and the local economy? Yeah. They get a lot of tourists, but the stadium, I think 30% is a little bit harsh. I think they get a few more than 30% full. I would say more like 50 to 60% full. But you've got to remember that the Olympic Stadium is like 80,000. I think Hertha get 45, 48,000. So, yeah, 30% is a little bit light. But, yeah, I know, Peter, you obviously know Berlin. Would you say this could affect potentially the Berlin economy too?
I know Hertha supporters. I call to try and console them every year, and this year I have no consolations to offer. They really do love their club, and they're really happy that this whole big city club mess is behind them. So the local supporters will certainly be out to support them in the Zweite Bundesliga. Everybody from Lautern is going to the Olympiastadion when it's time for the away match, I can tell you that much. Jesus, what... can you see me? Okay.
Sorry, I think the question's kind of blocked you out there, Peter.
That's all right. That's fine. That's fine. That's all good. And so will a lot of other Zweite Bundesliga ultras who are interested in going there. I mean, look, if you go to Berlin, Victoria Berlin still has full support. They have great supporters. Tennis Borussia has great supporters. Tasmania Berlin supporters are still
behind. We got the shirts of Tasmania.
Berlin is. I mean, look, there's obviously a lot of things going on in Berlin besides football. You know, it's one of the most amazing cities in the universe.
I'll be there in a few months. Well, in 4 weeks, actually.
Really? Okay. That's nice.
Well, I'll be there in a couple of weeks as well. Living in Berlin as a football fan, there's a lot to do in Berlin besides football. There really is. And of course, I was a young man when I lived in Berlin, so I did a lot of partying out on the skins of. Don't do that anymore. there's a lot to do, but the supporters of the local neighborhood clubs, they really do love their clubs. And I lived in Charlottenburg, actually not too far from the Sophie Charlotte Platz there. So I knew Hertha supporters there. I met Hertha supporters there. I went to the Olympiastadion with them and sang Nur nach Hause. And we try, we fail, we win. I guess you can scratch the "we win" part off of it this time. But
the last three seasons, really,
they're committed to their club. They're behind their club, and pretty much every zweite Bundesliga side is going to be excited to go to the Olympiastadion as part of the traveling support. And I can tell you that the Lautern fans have already booked their tickets. They don't even have a schedule yet, but they're like, "I'm sorry, honey, I got to go to Berlin one weekend when Lautern go and play Hertha." That's just the way.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of questions as well coming in about tips too. So yeah, let's just finish off the show today with our tips. And so yeah, obviously the main place to start is the title race. So, yeah, I'll start off with this one. I'm going to go for Dortmund to see it through. I think they will beat Mainz. I just think Mainz, obviously, nothing to play for. I just think Dortmund, surely they can't blow up on the biggest stage of all. You know, we could see eventually a Man City 2011-12 situation when they scored two goals in the last minute to famously win the title against Man United. Yeah, I'm sure Paul, if he's watching, will remember that one. But I think they will get it done somehow. I think Dortmund will win it. Rory?
Yep, Dortmund for me. Early goal makes it a lot more comfortable, doesn't it? As per the obvious thing to say, but yeah, 3-0.
Yeah, and Peter?
Dortmund.
Yeah, full house for Dortmund. Sorry, Bayern fans. Ooh. But yeah, Champions League then. So obviously that's between Union Berlin and Freiburg. I think, yeah, Union, there is a little bit of pressure on them now, but they should be able to see it through. You know, at home, they're just an absolute monster, aren't they? Obviously, Füllkrug will be trying to get maybe one or two extra goals to guarantee the top scorer. So there is still something to play for Werder as well. But I'm going to go for I think they'll win 2-0 or something like that. So Union will get fourth. What do you think, Peter?
Union, I've said it.
Yeah. Union all the way. And Rory?
Yeah, hard to go further than Union with their home match against Werder, yeah.
Yeah, then obviously relegation, probably the tightest thing of all to decide. So, yeah, for me, automatic, I'm going to go, yeah, Schalke. I think Peter's already said it'll be Schalke. Rory, who are you going for?
Yeah, I think it probably is going to be Schalke, looking at the matchups for the last fixture. But I expect it to be possibly very up and down on the Saturday with obviously all the games kicking off at the same time. It should be very exciting.
Yeah, and then for me, the playoff is, I think I'm still going to go Bochum, just simply because I think Stuttgart will definitely win, and I think Augsburg will probably just have enough to get a point. So I think we could even see the playoff team get 35 points this year for me, I think. Rory?
Hesitantly saying Bochum with absolutely zero confidence.
And Peter?
Augsburg, as I said. I think Augsburg on 34 points, and at least you get to watch relegation playoff matches, which they probably, you know, against HSV or Heidenheim, you would like their chances there. So
yeah,
they can still find a way to stay in.
Yeah. I did say actually, if Augsburg do get dragged into it, I would probably go to the home game against. It's something that I'd really like to do to get down there. But obviously, it's a big turnaround. I actually hope Augsburg stay up, personally, because, you know, they are my Bavarian brothers, so to speak. Yeah. But, yeah, I think that's just about everything for today. Obviously, it's been a good and interesting long show, but we've got a lot to cover today. So if you enjoyed what you saw on the show, then check out our Twitter channel, at OverTheBarB and at OverTheBarExtra. Don't forget our main website as well, which is otbfootball.net. Then, as I said at the start of the show, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, because we are aiming for that big 1,000 before the end of the season. So thanks a lot, guys. And I guess we'll see you again at the weekend. See you there, guys. Bye-bye.